You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It has nearly been a month since the COVID-19 Public Health Response Act passed in Parliament. Passed under urgency, the Act enables orders imposing the most profound peacetime restrictions ever made to the rights and personal freedoms of all New Zealanders. This is a statement from the New Zealand Law Society, who released a press statement last Wednesday recommending changes to amendments in the legislation, which needs additional safeguarding. So I spoke with Jonathan Orpindowell, a barrister and a member of the New Zealand Law Society Law Reform Committee, who spoke with me on the Response Act and the amendments the Law Society is recommending.
The Law Society recognises that it was necessary and desirable to have new legislation to deal with the COVID-19 emergency response that everyone's been living through. The old legislation that was being used to make the orders putting in place the lockdown and the restrictions under level 3 and 4 had become quite outdated, and it wasn't specifically passed with the kind of emergency response that we have with COVID in mind. So it's a good idea, the Law Society believes, to have new legislation which makes the process clearer and which also places the responsibility for making the decisions about the lockdown type orders with cabinet ministers, democratically elected MPs that we all vote on, rather than that power simply resting with health officials where it had sat previously. That said, it's a pretty extraordinary piece of legislation. And we've been living in pretty extraordinary times through the lockdown. And so the powers that the government has under the COVID-19 Public Health Response Act allow for it to make more orders in the nature of the lockdown if necessary as we move forward, if we have to go back to level 3 and 4. And those are pretty significant restrictions on the lives of all New Zealanders. So it's important that the legislation is closely scrutinised. And the Law Society was concerned that the Act was passed so quickly under urgency without the chance for review in the Select Committee process, which would usually take place.
And so what amendments are Te Kahui o Aotearoa making as recommendations to provide for additional safeguarding under this legislation?
The Society is recommending a range of amendments. Some of them sound like they're quite technical in nature, but they go to some pretty fundamental aspects of having good law in the books and also looking after and protecting the rights of New Zealanders. So perhaps I can give you a couple of examples. As you know, when we've moved through the alert level framework, we've had to do that quickly at times, particularly when we first went into the lockdown. The new Act provides that when you make those kind of orders, ordinarily you have to publish them 48 hours before they come into force. And so that's so that you and I can find out and understand what's expected of us. If we have to stay in our homes, where we're allowed to go, what we're allowed to do. Mm-hmm. There's an exception in the legislation that says that the orders can come into force more quickly if the Minister or the Director General of Health is satisfied that it's necessary to do that urgently to protect or contain the spread or outbreak of COVID-19. And the Society accepts that that may be necessary if we got into a bad situation again where we had to ramp up through the alert levels. But if that happens, one of the amendments that the Society is recommending is that there should be provisions in there which mean that you can't be prosecuted for offences of breaching the rules until you have a chance to have notice of them. So the order shouldn't be able to come into effect immediately, and you can be prosecuted before you have a chance to know what you've got to do and to comply with it.
Just moving back now to the legislation itself, this Public Health Response Act, it was passed. One of the criticisms people have for it, of course, is that it was passed through very quickly. There wasn't any public consultation or any scrutiny from select committees. So how does the public and select committee scrutiny play into legislation going forth to Parliament to help deal with ongoing health issues?
Sure. So the usual process is that if there's going to be a new piece of legislation that's introduced into Parliament, at that stage it's called a bill, and then there's usually a period of time, once there's been a debate on it in Parliament, for everyone in the country to make submissions on it to a select committee, which is a smaller group of MPs which sits down and carefully considers the legislation. And those submissions might range from matters of policy that you disagree with what the legislation is trying to do, or more technical things, how it works, or trying to build in safeguards to make the policy design work better, whether or not you agree with it. And so that process is really important for making the legislation the best it can be to make it work, make sure it works in a good way. And the Law Society's role is to focus on those technical aspects. It doesn't deal with policy, but it says, this is what the government's trying to do. Is this the best way to do it? Is it consistent with New Zealanders' rights and freedoms? You know, are there unintended consequences that haven't been thought through that we can close off? So that process is really important to making sure that we get good outcomes. Now, with this piece of legislation, as you say, it was passed urgently. The whole process took a day. It usually takes months. It can take 6 months sometimes to go through Parliament. It happened in a day. Now, the Law Society recognises that we're dealing with a pretty extraordinary situation and that there was a need to move urgently, particularly at the time it was passed. There was the move down to a lower alert level. But we think that it would have been really great if we could have had an extra couple of days built into that process for the public to make submissions. That would have allowed Parliament to iron out some of the issues that the Law Society is raising now around amendments, and it would have also added greater legitimacy to the process because people can participate in it and have their views heard.
Now, another point the New Zealand Law Society is marking is the importance of reconsidering the role and the risk of police to exercise their power in entering premises, including private homes, without a warrant. What changes have been or can be reconsidered?
So at the moment, the Act allows police officers to enter into homes without a warrant if they've got reasonable grounds to believe that people are gathering there in contravention of one of the orders that's been made under the Act, and that it's necessary for the police to make a direction, which is effectively a direction. If you're having a party, say that we're in a higher alert level and there's a limit on the number of people that can be there, you've got too many people there, the Act says the police can go in without a warrant and basically tell people that they need to break up the party. The Law Society's concern about this is that there are some cases in which we allow police officers to enter homes without a warrant, but they're quite limited, and we usually only do that when there is an offence being committed, or it's likely that an offence would be committed if you didn't enter the property. If that offence would involve injury to someone or serious damage or serious loss of property, or alternatively there's a risk to the life or safety of people that requires an emergency response. So the Law Society's submission is that going forward it would be better, rather than just having a power to enter without a warrant, to have a two approach system where you could go in without a warrant if there was an immediate risk to life or safety posed by COVID. But in other cases, require a warrant. So you've got to go to the court and persuade the court that the police should be able to come into your home. And we think that better balances the competing risks here, because there are obviously real health risks associated with COVID which need to be addressed.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, you know, if you've got a party that's got only one or two extra people there, the marginal risk around having an extra couple of people, the Law Society submits, doesn't warrant going in without, doesn't justify going in without a warrant in every case. A little bit more thinking is needed to make it more nuanced, so that the really egregious cases where there is a really immediate risk can be dealt with, but in other cases, people's privacy and their right to be in their homes without intrusion, unless that's authorised by the courts, is upheld.
That's really interesting around that point there. Is one of the recommendations in these changes that you're making is just around how for us as citizens, as New Zealanders, to access law and also having the ability to, you know, seek out the new legislation and stuff. It's not always the easiest as a citizen. I mean, even myself, I didn't have the greatest understanding of my rights as a citizen during lockdown. And even for people to have a greater access, you know, what means are there for them to actually carry out accessing the new law?
So the law itself really provides the framework for what can happen, what powers government has to make orders to implement the alert level systems. So the law says effectively, you know, the minister can make orders to give effect to an alert level framework and then put some processes and procedure around there, including allowing police and powers. But the rules itself that would, if we went back into at a higher alert level, that would govern them would be in what are called Section 11 orders in the legislation, because they're made under the 11th section of the Act. And so there'd be a specific set of rules. that you have to follow. Now, those rules have to be published on a website, a government-run website, and I believe to date they've been published on the COVID-19 government website. So you can go in there and look at the rules, but they're drafted in lawyers' language. So as you say, it's not always easy to understand what that means.
Mm.
The government has, to its credit, done a good job of putting some guidelines in place on the Ministry of Health's website and the COVID-19 website, explaining in clearer terms, you know, can I go to the park with my friends? You know, can I go to the supermarket? What do I do if I'm sick? So those are really good resources to understand what your obligations are if we get back in a higher alert level.
Of this, I mean, of course, this legislation was a response, a very immediate response, is what we needed. It's been now almost a month since the legislation, since the bill passed. Moving forward now, and this is one of the things that the Law Society is really pushing for and is making as a recommendation, is that understanding and complying with the law is that we need our citizens to understand and to access, have the ability to access this legislation. So how can we improve the ability for New Zealanders to access new legislation in New Zealand?
So in relation to COVID in particular, or in relation to accessing the law generally, if people want to go and see exactly what the law provides, there is a government website that has every bit of legislation that's current on the books at the moment, the statute book. And it is legislation.govt.nz. So anyone that's interested can always go there and find things out. I think at the moment on their homepage, they've got a special link that has a collection of all the different bits of law that have been passed specifically to deal with COVID.
Okay.
So that's a really great resource for that. But of course, it is the primary law, and it's drafted in hopefully clear ways, but sometimes ways that, you know, that help if you have a bit of legal training. So if people are looking for more general information, they can always access that through organisations like community law centres, and then also, as I said before, particularly around COVID, the government's COVID-19 website has some helpful resources there as well, which explain what the ongoing requirements are in some more general terms that people may find more accessible depending on what kind of level of detail they're interested in.
Classic journo question as well. Can I have a jaw?
The Wire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.